Heavenly Father. Lord, I give you permission, Lord, to enter every area, every thought process, every reasoning process, Father God. Release the fullness, not half measures, but full measures, Lord. Full measures, we pray. Release, release. God says that. It says deep calls on to deep. But the word of God says that with the same measure you give, you shall receive. The word of God also says that what you cast out or sow is what you will reap. How many people have intended in their heart that they're not leaving this place the same this morning? Or did you come out to waste your time? Did you come out to get your ears tickled? Did you come out for religion or relationship to engage the Spirit of God, your Heavenly Father? The Word of God says that those that hunger and thirst shall be filled and quenched. You know, it's possible to be right there in the place of divine, infinite provision and starve and be hungry. And God is a gentleman. Revelation 3 says that he stands at the door of our lives and our very existence. And guess what he does? And he's God. He knocks. Just take off the reverb, please. He knocks. He actually knocks. You know, when police come to your house and they want you, amen, they give a knock, but the knock they give is not really a knock. And then if you don't answer, you know what happens? They kick down the door. I've heard about this. I watched it on TV. But God, and nobody ain't got more authority than God, he knocks. He knocks. He knocks. I said he knocks. He knocks. He knocks. And he said, if you hear me and you open, I'll come in and I will sit with you. I will dine with you. We can do business. Somebody say, release the fullness of your Spirit to my life, God. I open the door of my life to you, my existence to you, my thoughts, my emotions, and my affections. Lord, we want you to have your way in this place here today. We don't want to play games, Lord. We don't want religion, Heavenly Father, because religion just goes round and round and leaves you the exact same way that you came in. You leave the same way. Lord, we want something real. We want the reality of your presence and your power. And we say, Spirit of the living God, in the precious, wonderful, powerful, matchless name of Jesus Christ, have your way. Speak, Lord. Speak, Lord, to the very core of our being. Speak to the very core of our lives. May your Spirit, Lord, arrest and overshadow us, Father God. We are your people. We are your people. You have separated us for such a time as this, Heavenly Father. And we come like the sons of God, and we present ourselves to you. And we say, Lord, sanctify, clean up, rebuke, chasten, encourage, exhort, empower, and equip, and release us, Father God, to be the very people you've called us to be and do the things you've called us to do in the precious, wonderful name of Jesus. And everybody in Destiny said, amen. Come on, put your hands together. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Amen. We're going to get straight to the word this morning, as is our custom. Praise God. I want to welcome you to Destiny City Church. Amen. Hallelujah. You're in the right place. And the right place, amen, is being in the presence of God with God's people. There is nothing better on this earth than coming together and worshiping and praising our God, our Father, our Maker, and our Creator. You know, it's absolute folly and stupidness to try and do life without God. Amen. It's worse than trying to run a car without petrol or diesel. These days you've got to say electric now because they're making electric cars. Amen. Without any source of fuel. Look at your neighbor and say, it's dumb to try and do life without God. Tell your neighbor, I ain't dumb and I ain't stupid. But it's dumb, it's stupid to try and do life without God. Because God is life. He is the giver of life, the source of life. Amen. That's a good place to say amen. Amen. Take your Bibles with me this morning. We're going to read a portion of scripture. It's found, we'll start at Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 to 14. We're going to continue the series of themed God More. Somebody said God More or More of God. Amen. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12 to 14. I'm going to read from here. I also just welcome all of our first-time visitors here this morning. Amen. If you could just turn to someone, turn to two people and say, welcome to the house of God. Welcome to destiny. Amen. Because when you come to the house of God, that's what you're going to get. You're going to get destiny. Amen. You're going to get your future. You're going to get fulfillment. Come on, someone. Bible says that he has predestined you, preordained you. In other words, your end is good, and God works in your life. You know how we work in our lives. We start at the beginning and work towards the end. God has already ended. He has finalized who you are, what you're going to do, how you're going to accomplish it, where you're going to be, and he works backwards. To us is backwards, but to God it's really working forwards. I'm confusing myself now. Anyway, hallelujah. But understanding will come. Philippians 3:12, and the word of God reads, it says, not that I have already attained or am already perfected or mature, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended or attained, but one thing I do. Somebody say one thing. Someone's got so many things. Somebody say, one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize or the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. Father, we just thank you once more, Heavenly Father. And we say, Lord, have your way. We pray for divine inspiration as we are gathered around your word today. Have your way. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. As I said previously, we're continuing the series, God More. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5 says that it's possible for a generation to have a form of godliness yet deny its power. Amen. Which effectively means that God doesn't want us to, or this generation, amen, who are made in his image. Somebody say, we're made in his image. Somebody say, I am made in God's image. Yet there is a very much a lack or a void of the expression of God, because God is good and God is holy and God is graceful. He is merciful and he is powerful. And the Bible says that it is possible to have a form of godliness, but yet deny the expression of God through our lives or through our generation. And as such, to turn away from such, or in other words, to not buy in to that philosophy or to that ideology. If you know that you're made in God's image, you know that you were created, then we should want to express the very thing, the very person who created us. We should want to grow up in God and mature in God. And if there's a lack of God, we should want more of God. Somebody say, more of God. In this generation, there's a term they use, and it's called godless. Amen. Which is why this month and the following months and for the rest of our lives, I'm going to say, we're not going to be godless. We're actually going to be God more. Come on, somebody. Say God more. Amen. God more. More of God. Praise the Lord. And one of the ways to have more of God is effectively to grow up. Lord have mercy. Somebody say, to grow up. To stop acting like a child. Amen. To mature. Somebody say mature. To be perfected. Somebody say I'm perfect. Because God actually sees you as perfect. To tell the truth, I actually see myself as perfect. Amen. Yet still, with God, the perfect can be perfected. Because if anyone could do better than the best, is God. Somebody say, I'm perfect, but I'm still being perfected. Say, I look my best, but I can still look better. Amen. Amen. And that's a God thing. That's something that God does. Amen. So throughout the Bible, there is a running theme throughout the Bible where God wills that there and desires that there be more of Him expressed through our lives, because He's our Creator, and that He wants us to grow up and mature, reflect and express Him. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, Peter writes and says, but grow, somebody say grow, somebody say mature, grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So Peter wants us to grow in this grace, in this ability, in this capacity as we come to know and engage the Lord, that we can grow more in this grace. Amen. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 says, therefore, leaving the elementary discussions about Christ, says, let us go on to perfection. Let us go on to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, or of the doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands, of the resurrection of the dead, or of eternal judgment. So the writer of Hebrews is effectively writing to a group of believers and say, listen, we keep going over the same thing. We're stuck in this kindergarten. We're stuck in nursery. We're stuck at level one. He said, listen, it's time for us. He's writing to these Christians saying, it's time for us to listen. We need to move on from here. Always having to go back here to repeat the same thing and the same thing again. So he says, let's move on from these basic foundational teachings and doctrines and behavior. Come on, somebody. Again, the scripture we read at the beginning, Paul, the apostle, he has this attitude. And I believe we ought to have this attitude, this mindset and this mentality, amen, that consistently wants to grow. God bless all three of you. Amen. That wants to mature. Amen. Amen. We ought to have this attitude, this mentality, this intrinsic, internalized philosophy, ideology. In fact, this pumping engine inside of us that just wants more of the best. Amen. That just wants to get better and better and better. Amen. That we this thing, this engine inside of you that says, you know what? I want the next goal. I want the next level for my life. Amen. Not this, you know, some people, I know they're not here. Some people, they just want to get fed. They don't want to be a feeder. Are you hearing me? They just want to stay over there in kingdom. They want to get fed. Change. Are you hearing me? Picked up and rocked like a baby. All right, are you hearing me? But Paul says, he says, listen, I've got this mindset. Verse 12, not that I've already attained or I'm already perfected, like I could just lay back and relax. He says, no, I'm pressing on to lay hold of that which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Somebody say, Christ got a hold of me because he got a hold of something for me. Paul says in verse 13, he says, we're going to get there in a minute. He says, I do not count myself to have apprehended. He says, I don't count myself to have arrived. You know, you ever met them people who think they've arrived and they're all that? Yeah, they stroll in, stroll out, they act, they got a little bit of this guy that going on, a little bit of that going on. And Paul says, listen, I don't look at myself, I don't count myself as someone who has arrived, who has apprehended them, and I've got nothing more to do with my life. He says, one thing I do, Lord have mercy. How many of you do many things in life? He says, there's only one thing I do. How many of you got a lot of things going on? He says, listen, I ain't got a lot of things going on. There's only one thing I've got going on in my life. Woo! How many people would just like to just, you know, whittle down all the things you got going on? Oh, Lord, God's going to use me today to be a blessing to your life. Hallelujah. I want to get some good Christmas presents. Praise the Lord. He says, there's one thing I do. I'm going to forget what is behind me. And I'm going to reach. I'm going to stretch. I'm going to press ahead toward the goal, the prize of the upward call of God. And when you look at the context of those two, three verses, basically he's saying, listen, Christ Jesus won something for me, and he wants me to have it, And I'm over here, and I'm going to make sure all the days of my life, if there's one thing I'm going to do, is keep pressing and keep stretching and keep pressing and keep stretching to be all and do all that he has accomplished and won for me. He says, I'm stretching, I'm reaching for something, and that something is the sum total. Watch this. It is the sum total of why God himself came in the person of Jesus Christ, died, gave his life for you and I, sacrificed, shed his blood. Paul says the very reason why he done that is why I'm going to live my life like this, with a singularity of purpose and intention, with a single mindset. Single mindset. He's not trying to be this or trying to be that or wants to come. He says, no, I've only got one mindset, this one thing I do. In other words, because of what was done for him, as a consequence of a price that was paid for him, the effort that was made for him, the sacrifice that was made for him. Come on, somebody say, that's me too. That was me, yeah? He says, I will not plateau. I'm not going to rest on my laurels. I'm not going to coast through life. He says, I'm not going to set up tent and just pitch my tent and stay there. I'm not going to set up a camp during the existence of my life. I will not adopt an attitude of I have arrived, I have made it, and there's no reason for me to try anything or do anything else. There's no reason for me to extend myself anymore or try to be something that I'm not. Come on, somebody, I heard you, some you say that. I'm just going to sit here, and I know my corner, I know my race, but the thing is, you're not even in, some of us are not in the race. We're sitting on the sideline. Wouldn't mind if you was in the race. I are you hearing me? Yeah, know your lane. Don't step out of lane. Come on, somebody, but get in the race and keep pressing. Oh, praise the Lord. Some people say, man, not you guys. Some people say, I'll never be this. And how do you know? You're just, some people just looking to rest on their laurels. Anyway, praise the Lord. Paul says, I'm going to maximize every breath, every day, every hour, every minute to see more of God's will and purpose in my life. God more. Come on, somebody, God more. He says, I'm going to get every drop out of my life, or what's left of it. I want to tell you something. When he wrote this, he was an old man. Look at your neighbor. Say, he was an old man. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. Watch this. He wrote this from prison. He says, for I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. You know what he's saying? He says, my life has been poured out. I'm down to the last drop. How many of us want to get to that last drop and be able to say, listen, man, I've lived my life with a singularity of purpose. Amen. When he says, I'm not already arrived or perfected, it speaks about maturity. Somebody say maturity. Adulthood. Big man, big woman thing. Amen. I've come of age. I've got to a place in my life where I'm mature, and still maturing. I'm like fine wine, not like that juice that don't. Hallelujah. Somebody say maturity. One of the I found this, and I quite like this one for the context of today's message, I believe. So one of the interpretations of maturity is the ability to respond to the environment, the situation, or circumstances in life in an appropriate manner. That's the amen. And this response is generally learned rather than instinctive. I mean, sometimes you learn to grow up. You learn in your adulthood through experiences. Amen? So maturity is the ability, and I'm sure there's a few more explanations of maturity, but maturity is the ability to respond to the environment, the situation, or circumstances in life. In other words, it's how you react or how you respond. Amen? It is an indication of one's maturity. Are you hearing me? When we, you know, in our early days of discipleship, we were always told, you know what, I'll be going, man, this guy done this to me, and she done that to me, and we used to hate hearing this. It doesn't matter what they done to you. God is watching you to see how you react. and how you respond to what is taking place in your life. Are you hearing me? You know, and maturity isn't how much you know. You know, sometimes you can mistake. You can see someone who waxes eloquent using big words and got all these degrees, more degrees than the phenometer, and they can say this, and they know about this, and they can fix that. And you can think some people, because of what they know, are mature. Hallelujah. Anyway, let me not go there too much. Amen. You know, that some people think that. But how many know mature or spiritual maturity is not even that. You can know the whole Bible back to front like me. Doesn't necessarily mean that you're mature. Praise the Lord. Jesus often ran into people who knew the intricacies of Scripture. Oh, come on, somebody. Matthew 22, 29. The Sadducees asked Jesus a technical question about marriage and all of this and in heaven. And he rebuked them. He says, you never know the Scriptures nor the power of God. You never know what you're talking about. Come on, son. To the Jews, he said, you search the Scriptures. In John 5, 39, he says to the Jews, you search the Scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. You think just because you know this and you know about that and you know about that, you think that that's what makes you spiritually mature, that's what makes you, you know, somebody mature in God. He says, no. That's not the way it goes. Because he said, listen, you guys, you know the Scriptures, but yet you're missing me. You can't recognize how I'm working or in your life. Come on, somebody. Even when John chapter 3, when Nicodemus came out to meet Jesus at the night, and Jesus is telling him, listen, man, you've got to be born again. You've got to be born again by the Spirit. And Nicodemus is going back and forth. And Jesus said, you are a teacher of Israel. You're someone who you're one of the deacons. You're one of the deacons. You're one of the you're one of the principals of the academy, of college, of university back then, and you don't know. You don't know. Oh, praise the Lord. So knowledge. I want to tell you this. In other words, what that tells me is that knowledge doesn't impress Jesus. No matter how much of a big head some people are, I know they're not here today. Amen. Knowledge doesn't impress Jesus, but somebody say we still need knowledge. You know, people's giftedness does not impress Jesus. You know, some people they have some gifts. You know, when people are gifted, I know many times it can intimidate us because we think, oh my gosh, this person's got so much gifts. They can do this and they can do that and they can do it all in the dark and do it in one hand and tippy-toe on their little finger and this. You ever come across people who are just so gifted? It make you feel stupid. I'd be like, oh my gosh. But one day, you know what? Someone said to me, said, Robert, don't let that person's giftedness intimidate you. I said, why? He goes, because guess what? They've got to put their pants on the same as you, one leg at a time. Come on, son. You see, there's always an equalizer somewhere. All right? It doesn't matter what people got going on that you ain't got going on. You got something going on too. And there's always one place where we can't skip class. And that's when it comes to spiritual maturity. No matter how much you know, how much gifts you got, spiritual maturity is the equalizer. Doesn't matter what you bring from the world, it will never make someone could come with all of that, and you got all, and you just got this little itty bitty thing. You cannot skip classes with God. We all start at the same place, and we've all got to grow up in our relationship with Him. Are you hearing me? One thing that, you know, there was a couple of things that impressed Jesus. He was impressed by faith. Simple, you know, by simple faith. And this was usually by people you wouldn't expect it from. Luke chapter 7, verse 9, there's this centurion. There's this soldier, and he has this servant who's sick. And this centurion comes to Jesus and says, you know, everyone's coming to church. They're meeting Jesus. And this guy who's not even churchy or anything like that comes to Jesus and says, here's about Jesus. Says, come and heal my servant. And Jesus says, okay, I'll heal him. And Jesus goes to go home because, no, you don't have to come. You just say the word. You just give me your word, Jesus, that the healing will take place. And that's enough for me. You don't have to pat me on my back. You don't have to follow me home. You don't have to call me. Come on, somebody. You don't have to call me every day. And the Bible says that Jesus marveled. He was impressed. Imagine impressing God. Imagine making God take a... Whoa. He said, faith like this, I have not seen in the church. I have not seen faith like this in my own people. He was impressed. Impressed that someone would just take his word at it. Wow. That impresses Jesus. You know what impresses Jesus too? Sorrow for sin. Anybody got a broom? You know we walk with our broom. Anyone got some carpet or some rugs? You know we walk with our rugs. What impresses Jesus is people who are, you know, they're quickly repentful and sorrowful about their sin, their wrongs. Generally, you know what we do. We got our little dustpan and broom, sweep that underneath the carpet, make an excuse for it, do a little shaggy. It wasn't me. They made me do it. It was his fault. It was her fault. Yeah, come on, somebody. Come on, can we tell the truth? We're like, you know what? We've got some dangerous people in the church. We've got people that are black belts. They are dans. They are ninja warriors at making excuses. Come on, and avoiding taking responsibility for their sin. Come on, we've got some people who can swerve and drop some moves and know how to twist the word of God. The Bible says confess your own sin, but we have come so good at confessing and gossiping about other people's sin. Lord have mercy. Oh, we're like, we're Kung Fu masters, black belts and dans. Come on, someone. But what impresses Jesus is people that say, you know what, it don't matter what. You know what, I was talking with somebody the other day. Yeah? And this person, man, I'm going to punch him in the face. I said, what for? Because they're making me want to. I go, no, you can't blame them. Come on, somebody. Just because, anyway, praise the Lord. That's childish. Whew. I remember in Acts, you know, chapter 1, it says that Jesus said, that's why, you know what? One of the things that God wants us to do is to grow up, mature, yeah? And he wants us to express him, to demonstrate him, to exemplify him to the world. And that's why he told the disciples, listen, you guys, you need the Holy Ghost. You need the Holy Spirit inside of you. He said them in, I think it's Acts 1:8. He says, stay here. Stay in my presence. Wait here and pray until the Holy Ghost comes on you. Says that the Holy Ghost is going to come on me. And then he says, because he will give you power to be my witnesses. In other words, he will give you the ability to represent him in this world, in this life. And some of us, we don't spend enough time waiting on the Holy Ghost, waiting on the power of God to fill us. Amen. We run. We run out, but we already empty. He says, well, stay here and wait. Go with me to Acts 1:8, I think it is. Sorry, I deviated, but you know, God's not staying on my timetable. Amen. He's telling me to follow what, to go where he wants me to go. Amen. So he says, can you pull up Acts? Where is it? But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the utter ends of the world. You know that when you lose control, when you have no control over yourself, it is a sign not just of immaturity, but of powerlessness. Are you hearing me? Of power, when we can say that somebody made me do something. They made me cuss you out. You made me punch you. You made me fall. I mean, it's just immaturity, and we're blaming somebody else. Is my microphone working? Amen. Amen. Can I get somebody to say amen and back me up on that one? Praise the Lord. He said, I'll give you the power to be my, I mean, a witness is somebody that ought to stand up in the courtroom of life and represent and show or tell the truth. Anybody ever been to court? I know some of you guys, you've never been to court, I know. Neither me, anyway. Amen. But I've heard that they make you, they swear you in. Do you promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, or nothing but the truth to help me, God? Don't know how I knew that, but anyway. Holy Ghost inspiration. So you're supposed to like represent, you know, represent. The Bible says in Proverbs, I can't remember exactly where Proverbs, it says that a man without self-control, amen, is like, without self-control, is like a city whose walls are broken down. In other words, the discipline and the structure that is needed in someone's life to be in control of themselves, when they lack it, it's like a city without no walls, and the enemy can just come in, push certain buttons, you're cussing, you're fighting, you're doing whatever. Are you hearing me? Praise the Lord. You're there at home, and somebody call you up, and next minute you're there in the club. Or with him or her, or you're smoking this, or they're smoking you, or whatever. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit's telling you, come and pray. Amen. And social media or TV's telling you, come and sit and watch me. Now, I ain't got nothing against social media or TV. I know I may come across sometimes, but I just believe that we need to have healthy and appropriate relationships with things, amen, like social media. We need to, like, you know, prioritize how we work, have a relationship with it. Is it controlling us, or we are in control of it? Oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So that's a sign of maturity, when you're in control and not being controlled. Praise the Lord. So he likes people that are able to, like, confess, man, I got it wrong. I messed up, but we have this propensity to just not take responsibility. We don't like to take that. Come on. And we are the slowest people to put our hands up and say, it was me. We're even making pop songs to say, it wasn't me. That's how dark we got now. Yeah. Well, yeah, and we're all singing it. It wasn't me. The corner. It wasn't me. It wasn't me. Yeah, we love it, boy. It wasn't me. Oh, raise him up now. Lord have mercy. We need to make a song that says, it was me. It was me. It was me. No. May I tell you, sir? It was me. Me. No. Me. No. I started it. It was me. No. Anyway, praise the Lord. Let me move on. Hallelujah. You guys got me tripping out now. So. Maturity. When we spoke about knowledge before, and I'm not trying to say that we don't need knowledge. Knowledge is important, but we need knowledge and education for a reason, not just to get a swell head, or to become these cerebral, intellectual, bigots. You know, the psalmist, Psalms 119, verse 34. The psalmist said this. He said, "Give me understanding. Give me some knowledge, but I may keep your law and observe it with my whole heart." So he's saying, listen, I want to learn. Yeah, I want knowledge. But I don't want knowledge for knowledge's sake to be able to quote and expand and say scriptures. I want knowledge so that I am able to express you and change. I want to learn so I can change. I want to learn so I can be transformed. I want to learn so I can be all that you've called me to be. I want to fulfill your dreams in my life, God. You made me. You knew what you were making. Give me understanding. I just don't want to be reading this or be in church and hearing this. I want something more to take place in my life than just getting something in my head. I need something inside of my heart. And when it gets in my heart, it needs to, like, woo, boom, boom, whatever. Express. John chapter 1, verse 14, the Bible says that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. In other words, it says, listen, the word, the understanding, the knowledge became flesh and began to live. It didn't become intellect. It didn't become education. It didn't become a degree. It didn't become a doctorate. No, it became flesh. Flesh. The word became flesh. The word became, oh Lord, have mercy. So, you know, the word that God spoke to me on Sunday, look how I'm living it. It became flesh. I don't even have to go out and quote it. Just read me. Oh, praise the Lord. I'm preaching good today. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I must have woke up on the right side of the bed. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. I just want to like just further that point there. Philippians 3, 10 and 11. Amen. Can we just go there? Paul writes and says, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and share in the fellowship of his suffering. If by any means I might, you know, Paul said, I want to die with him if by any means I may share in the resurrection, in his resurrection power. I want to share in his suffering. I want to become like him in death. If by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. And when you read it, you're reading it and you think, okay, he's talking about he wants to die and then get resurrected. But if you meditate on it a bit more, he's saying, no, it's more than that he's saying. He's saying, you know what? I want to live the life he lived. I want to be, you know what mature spiritual maturity is? Christ-likeness. Like Christ. Like Jesus. Paul said, I want to be just like him. There was eras in his life where he died and he suffered. But then there were eras in his life where he resurrected, where things changed. Are you hearing me? He said, I want to be like him. I just don't, how many know Christianity is and our faith is not some school where you just get a degree. No, it's where you get a life. Tell your neighbor, get a life. Amen. Get a life. A real life. Come on, just nudge them. Wake them up. Say, get a life. Tell them, come alive and live for real. Live. You know how Paul wants to live? He says, you know what? This is how you live. He says, I want to share in his suffering. Woo! That's a mature mentality. I want to share in his suffering. Lord have mercy. I'm trying to stay out of that one for now. He says, I want to share in his suffering. Wow. An immature person doesn't want to suffer. A child will run away from roles or responsibilities or actions or responses that will cause them to suffer. Amen. How many know Jesus had to die to some stuff? He had to hold a certain stance and position which didn't feel good, but it was mature responses that were needed at the time. And through that, Paul says, oh, you know what? I want that kind of life. And not only that, he says, there was some resurrection too. There were some great and awesome things that took place in the life of Jesus. He says, Paul, I want some of that too. I want to see the areas of my life where I need to grow and expand them. And say, whoa, I didn't know I could be like this. I didn't know that God could do this in my life. I didn't know that I could think this way. I didn't know that I could mature in this way. Wow. I always thought that I'd be like this and I'll never be able to cope with that or never be able to handle that situation. Paul said, I want some of that resurrection expression of God in my life. How people know maturity, a sign of maturity is how we cope, how we respond, how we react to situations and circumstances that are very real in our lives. Amen? How people want to grow up? Hallelujah. We're going to finish here on this point. Hebrews 5 verses 12. It says here, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracle of God. So the writer of Hebrews now, he's rebuking this other group of people. Thank God it ain't us, amen. And he's telling them, listen, he says, you've come to need milk and not solid food. How many of you know milk's good for you? Amen. How many people know we need milk? Milk's good. Calcium, strong bones, strong teeth. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But he's talking to people that are like, 30 and 40 years old and 50 years old and they're still. looks good for you. Looks good for babies. We need, he says, the Bible says, desire milk. And in fact, we should still drink milk. I'm talking about the milk of the word now, simple things. But how many people know you can't have a life or a diet of just milk? At some point in our lives, we've got to go on to some solid food. Yeah? Can't remember, you know, some Farley's Rusk. I have to steal all the kids. Oh, gosh, don't bring Father's Rush around me. Ain't no baby getting it. Amen. And that Karen Gate milk pack. Oh, jeez. Oh. Woo! Hallelujah. I said, nick that old. Steal all the Farley's Rust. Eat all the milk powder. Oh, God. Mind you, I still used to eat my meat. That's the difference. So he's saying, he's writing to him and he's saying, he says, for everyone, verse 13, he says, let me go back to 12. He says, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. In other words, we're still having to give you milk. You're not even partaking of the meat. For everyone who partakes only of milk, so there's nothing wrong with having milk, is unskilled. But if it's the only thing, if it's the only level you're at where it's just milk, it says they're a babe. Not that kind of, hey, babe. He says they're a babe means you're baby. Mama, dada, mama. If that's what your baby done anyway. My little, this puke. I want them type of babes anyway. He says, but solid food belongs to those who are full of age. That is those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. In other words, he says that these people, man, they've matured through use, through exercise, through experience. In other words, they're not repeat offenders. In other words, they do something, they try something, it didn't work, it's not working out, but they're learning from it. So they're not going to, are you, do we need to read that again? It says, but solid food. People, you know, because some people don't want to grow up. You know, sometimes things that happen in circumstances, situations in life, remember that's maturity, how we respond to them. He says there's a way how you can learn, how you can grow up, how to mature. You got the same thing happening time and time and time again, and the same thing or the same people, the same situation. Sooner or later, you know, because you keep going through it, you know what? You say, you know what? I'm not going to keep acting like a baby and be immature and let myself have the same response, the same perspective of it, the same behavior, the same reaction, because that means that if it's messing me up, and I, mommy, he took my toy, but why are you crying? If they're not playing, but what's the matter, why are you crying? He's saying, listen, situations and circumstances or people may never grow up, but you and I have opportunity to mature. Okay. It's how we view it. It's how we cope with it. It's how we respond to it. Well, we are important. That's what Paul says. You know what? Man, I've got an opportunity to grow here. To suffer. Or we could be like, you ever seen them kids? You're not playing with me. And they're bawling their eyes. Come on, someone. You know, some of you, even in church, you keep your toys to yourself. You keep your toys to yourself. Not you, the person next to you I'm talking about. You don't want to play fair because things don't always go your way. Yeah? And until things are, no, not playing with you. Keeping it myself. No. I'm not going to help. No. Tithe money. No, not my. I sit on your chair for free, though. Come on, somebody. Yeah. I'll use that, and I'll drink that, and I'll eat that, and I won't have nothing to do with that. Come on, somebody. That's the reality of it. Listen, we could be so childish sometimes. Yeah, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. Go there very, very quickly. Paul says this. He says, listen, when I was a child, I acted like a child. I reasoned like a child. I fought like a child. But now I've become a man. I'm putting away childish things. Now I've become a man. Now I've matured. Now I'm of age. It's time. Come on. You can be of age and act like a child and behave like a child. And let me tell you something, that there's one thing that this generation and this world we need to be careful of is that we're not acting like children when it comes to the things of God. That we're not acting like children when it comes to the things of God. Because I want to tell you something. Can I tell you something? Because it's maybe my last day pastoring, so I might as well just get it all out there. Yeah? Because sometimes that's how you got to preach to people. You know what? Boy, let me just drop this one on you. If you don't want me here next week, God bless you. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? It's like, listen, do you know that one of the most childish things that this generation does is how we handle God? God is a reality. He ain't real. No, there's no God. I'm an atheist. That is so stupid and childish. I don't believe. Oh, come on, somebody. But you believe when something goes bad. You say, that's God's word. If there was a God, you believe then? Are you hearing me? And then we don't want to play. We want to keep our toys. Oh, we want to keep the blessing. We'll take and get fed. But Lord have mercy. Ask two of us to stay behind and sweep the church. Or come to the street with us. Come on, somebody. Or help out over here. Oh, no. We want to swan in and sit down and do whatever we want to do and get fed and not be a feeder. And not be a feeder. A sign of maturity is getting to a place in your life where you are a giver or a teacher. This sit back, relax thing, and feed me. You know what? You can chalk one there. You're going to chalk. You're going to choke. The mindset, the mentality should be, you know what? Okay, I'm receiving now, but I've got my mind and my heart. I'm going to a next level so that I can help somebody else. Are you hearing me? That's maturity. Yeah, not this man. I know for some of us it may be a stronghold, it may be a lie. You may just believe that you're nothing and that you can't and that you'll never be able to do this. But that's all. We squash that right now. That ain't God's plan for you. It is God's plan for you that you come off the milk and start eating some meat. I ain't done yet. I've got some more toes to mash while I'm at it. Christ-likeness, priority, means a radical reprioritizing of your priorities and what's important. I'm missing church because I got a christening. Yeah, I'm going there. I don't care. I'm missing the presence of God because I got this going on. And I got that going on. Well, you go and pray to whatever you got going on and don't pray to God and see what happens. I can't tithe and I can't give this amount of money. Let me just give you this little shekel because right now, listen, your money is an indication of where your real God is. And some of our real God is Sky TV. EE and free and this movie and Netflix, Batflix, whatever. This type of food and this type of club and this type of this. Remember, maturity is how you engage your reality. It's a sign of how you respond. Oh, praise the Lord. Reprioritize. Maturity comes when you allow the Holy Spirit to say, listen, when you start to put the things of God first. And here's the thing. When you put the things of God first, you're actually putting you first. Seriously. It's mad. When you start to put God first, you're actually putting you first. If you put God's last, because this is the way God sees it, if he comes after anything, he's lost. There ain't no second, there ain't no third. Come on, somebody. First Samuel 1, he says, if you despise me, I will despise you. Same measure you give, you'll receive. Are you hearing me? I'm coming at you. When are we going to grow up? Because there's a group of us that are moving on. And we don't care. Yeah, I said it. Don't care. When I said don't care, we care. But we're not going to care enough to make it kill us. Time to grow up. You either want to grow or stay there. Jesus said, listen, don't cast your pearls before swine, because some people in the church are just pigs. No, seriously, they're not here today. Well, there may be one or two oinks in here. But seriously, you'll have some people in your life, I tell you now, they're just pigs. And sometimes you have to discern through reason of use that, you know what, this one is not worth continuing with or investing in. This relationship is a one-way thing here. There's nothing mutually beneficial here. Or I've sold into this for so long and there's no fruit coming out of it. Are you hearing me? Maturity, watch this, it says here, by reason of use, having your senses exercised to discern both good and evil. You've been doing this for so long, something in your life, you know what, this maturity will wake up to the fact, sometimes you can chase something or chase somebody. You ever had them relationships? Yeah? And you've got so much invested in it that you're scared to move or what move. Oh, come on, can the sisters say amen at least? Yeah? Yeah? And you keep chasing it. You keep chasing it. And deep down you know it ain't no good. And it ain't gonna change. And it ain't gonna get no better. But you're struggling to grow up and mature and step out and start a new journey. Are you hearing me? Yeah, I know. I thought that would resonate with some of you sisters. Come on. Can the men in the house say yeah? I said, can the men in the house say yeah? I want to tell you nothing. Listen, Paul said, when I was a child, I fought like a child, I reasoned like a child, I understood like a child, but now I have got some hairs on my chest. I'm putting childish things away. Men, to ignore God is pure folly. It's foolishness. It's foolishness. It's foolishness. It's foolishness. It's dumb. It's stupid. It's time for us to grow up. Time for us to grow up. I'm going to end there. There's a lot more to say. We're going to continue this theme about more God and expressing God. But Jesus said, "You know these are my disciples. You know that these are my disciples." And a disciple is someone who's following and learning. You don't have to be the finished product. He says, "These are my disciples. People that are following and learning." And some of us, we just sit back and we use our black belts and our ninja warrior skills to come up with the inexcusable and the indefensible and say, no, that's for them and this is for me. No, God's calling upon your life is that you become a teacher in some way, in some degree, someone who could help somebody. I'm not saying teacher, you're going to be up here behind. But you should have it in your mind and your heart. You know what? Okay, I'm at this level, but I ain't staying here. Are you hearing me? And if that is not in your heart and your mind, pray for it. And if you don't want to pray for it, then you might as well walk around and just say oink, 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 because you're just being a pig. And we ain't got no pigs in here, amen? We ain't pigs. We may be sheep that go astray, amen? But he's our shepherd. And he sends his word to us. This is the way. Come on, go ahead and stand today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Mature. You know, there's some things going on in some of our lives, and God says, learn from it and make decisions and choices based on what you've been experiencing. But that's how maturity comes. You have to grow. It doesn't just happen just like that. But don't be a repeat offender where you keep failing in the same place, at the same time, in the same person, or with the same thing. Are you hearing me? Tell your neighbor, I'm not a repeat offender anymore. Amen. In fact, let's just forget those things behind. Let's say, you know what? I was never a repeat offender. Amen. You know. Praise the Lord. Amen. Mature. Learn. Make hard choices and decisions. Sometimes they make you suffer, but you'll get a resurrection out of it. You'll see the power of God move. Are you hearing it? You see how the scriptures just, how the Holy Ghost just links them up? You're just going to make decisions and choices based on what you've been experiencing and doing and going around. Are you hearing me? Some change. Somebody said change is going to come. Say change is here. Hallelujah. 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 Praise you. Come on, just lift your hands. We're going to pray. Those of you who can, I want you to lift both your hands to heaven. And you just begin to open your mouth and begin to talk to the Lord. Begin to talk to the Lord about whatever you feel He spoke to you about, whatever you sense Him speaking to you about. Come on. Just think about it and begin to rehearse it and begin to say, Lord, you spoke to me about, and begin to voice it. Begin to pray. Pray. Lord, help me to make sense. Help me to discern what changes. Help me, Lord, to engage you. Come on. I don't want to be a child no more. I want to radically reprioritize my life. I want to put you first in my life. None of this silly, stupid, childish immaturity taking place in my life. Lord, when I was a child, I fought like a child. I understood like a child. Lord, I reasoned like a child. But now I've become an adult. I'm mature. I'm a man. I'm a woman. I put away childish ways. Come on. Put away childish things. Put away childish things. Childish reactions. Childish responses. And listen, sometimes the situation won't change. Then what you got to say is, Lord, change me. Change me. I'm ready to grow up. I'm ready to change my perspective and my mentality. Lord, it can stay the same. You don't have to change the world, but change me. If you change me, my world will change. If you change me, my world will change. My world will change. Come on, just begin to pray. Begin to pray. Come on, cry out to God right where you are. Begin to pray. Pray. Cry out to God. Come to the altar if you feel led to come to the altar and begin to cry to God. Say, Lord, change me. Help me to grow up. Help me to make that decisive decision, that choice, that quality decision. You may have noticed a little change in the atmosphere of church over the past few weeks. All right? You may have noticed it in the service and the presence of God. And you know what? You know what's happened? We've tightened the belt. We've tightened the belt. Even down to the way we come to church. Instead of having an hour to play, we have a half an hour to do sound check, get the praise team ready, to get ready for the word. It's like, no, we've made too many excuses for ourselves in life. Praise the Lord. I said, we've excused ourselves too much in life. We have given ourselves too much of a break in life. I'm telling you. 1 Corinthians 9:27. I'm just going to finish on this point. Sorry. 1 Corinthians 9 to 27. Look at your neighbor and say, you need some licks. Take neighbor, seriously, you need some beating. Watch this. You see what? See what the apostle? This apostle Paul says. He says, "Listen, I discipline my body. I bring it into subject." In other words, that translates to is, "I beat." Another version say, "I beat myself. Least when I preach to others, I myself should become disqualified." See, he realizes, "Hey, listen, I got to put some licks on myself. I can't be saying this and doing that, and I'm letting myself off the hook. I'm not getting myself in shape." I'm getting my life, I'm getting myself ready. Are you hearing me? Does that make sense? So now you can tell your neighbor, you need some licks from yourself. Praise the Lord. We're going to sing a praise song now, and then we're going to, hallelujah. Come on, welcome God's word. Let it rest. Say thank you for your word. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your power. But if you show gratitude right now, watch this. You know, during when God comes to your life and he begins to deal with us, rebuke us, chasten us, telling us things sometimes. You know how we get. We like to put up our defenses. But how many people know today is one day we're going to be mature with God? If anyone can correct us and tell us about our business, it should be the one who knows our business. Yeah? God knows your business. Yeah? You can't tell God it wasn't me. You can tell me it wasn't me, and I can tell you it wasn't me, but God knows. I want to challenge those of us here today who feel led so. And if you don't even feel led, right, by faith, I want to encourage you, come to the altar today and say, Lord, you are welcome. You're welcome to rebuke me. Your word is welcome me. Whatever you said to me, you're welcome. I appreciate it. Come on, you're telling God, I appreciate you speaking to my life. Come on, speak to your father. Speak to your father. Speak to your father. Come on, you're speaking to God. Speak to your Father. Look to the heavens and say, you are welcome. You are welcome, Lord.
You are welcome.
Come on, lift your hand, lift your voice, and look to heaven. Come on, let your body let God know that he's welcome. Watch this. Can I just? When you've got a bit of experience with God, when you come to the altar, and this is for people who want to grow, who want to grow. If you want to stay on milk, that's up to you. But if you want to start eating some meat, listen to this. When you come into church, into the presence of God, even when you're at home and you're listening to praise music and prayer, you have to engage God. Standing with your hands in your pockets is childishness. But I don't feel like it. Listen, it ain't a feeling. It's discipline. Paul says, I discipline my body. Amen? He is God. He is God. He is God. He's your maker. You don't feel God. You just do God. You know he's in this place. You know it's him. We worship him. You lift your hands. You lift your voice. Come on, somebody. You lift the prayer. You don't have to wait to feel like it. Let me tell you something. Jesus didn't feel like it. He just done it. It wasn't a feeling, because you, to God, you are more important than a feeling, because feelings come and feelings go. So right now, I want to encourage you in your chair, in your seats, right here at the altar, unto your God, lift your voice, lift your hand, and let's be mature about how we worship God, how we allow God to touch us. Because it's for your benefit, not mine. This is for your benefit, not mine. Lift your voice. Lift your heart. Lift your hands. Press in. Mean it from your soul. Mean it from your heart.